And it's a Taylor Report, and that was Megan Metcalf, marrow in the bone. Megan is a big supporter of Tulsi Gabbard, woman of color, army, opposed to war, and therefore Megan Metcalf, when she tries to tweet her support, finds it Twitter sometimes knocks her out. Isn't that nice? This is Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I think we're joined by Norman Otis Richmond himself. Are you there, Norman?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Very good. Norman, you do something very laudable. I wish more people did this. You're very conscientious about identifying major figures in history that have impacted humanity in a positive way, and you write about them and you note their dates. Since we just recently had the birth date of Norman Bethune, I assume you weren't named for him, but anyhow, Norman Bethune. He was born on March the 3rd, 1890. And why does he loom up in your view?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say I've been severely criticized for doing that. Some people have said that I am a writer of a greatest hits history, and they will put me down for that. And I tried to sell the story to an alternative newspaper whose name I won't mention, and they weren't interested either, you know, because
Because there are progressive papers that are, they don't like to talk about Norman Bethune because he belonged to the Communist Party, and that's somehow forbidden. By the way, Adrienne Clarkson wrote a biography of him. She made the point, listen, you got a genuine Canadian hero. The main problem in getting him appropriately recognized and consistently respected is that inevitably it comes up that he was with the Red Army, basically, fighting the Japanese.
Oh yeah, he was in Spain. He was in in China, and he was a world traveler on the side of the left, and he was a member of the Communist Party. He wasn't in the Liberal Party, or he wasn't in the definitely wasn't in the Conservative parties, and I guess it's all right to be in the NDP in Canada, but the Communist Party is definitely a no-no. Yeah. But you asked me why Norman Bethune?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was named after. I was named after my father, and I don't know the name Norman is always fascinated me, because there used to be a song, Norman, ooh, I used to always get laughed at about that song, and then when that Red Fox movie came out, Norman, is that you? Norman Bethune, I heard about Norman Bethune when I was growing up in Los Angeles, California. The only two Canadians that I knew anything about was Harry Jerome and Norman Bethune. I knew about Harry Jerome because he had ran in three Olympics, and I was, I ran track, and I always followed track and field probably more than any other sport. Mm-hmm. And a guy that I went to high school with, Richard Stebbins, he ran against Harry Jerome in the mm-hmm. I think Richard ran in the 64 Olympics, and Harry beat him. I think the only person Richard beat was Livio Baruti out of Italy. But Richard made it to the finals, and he got a gold medal in the relay. He passed the baton up off to Bob mm-hmm. Hayes.
By the way, I'm glad we should point out that you have a little political taste in both departments, because actually who's the fastest human is a big subject. It's like the same with who's the toughest. I mean, Jack Johnson, Joe Louis, very important. Everybody, I went to Tanzania, everybody on the street wanted to talk to me about Mike Tyson. You know, they hear about who's the toughest guy. and who's the fastest? I mean, we've been living in the era of Usain Bolt, who's the greatest runner in history, as far as I can see, and certainly the greatest sprinter.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I heard with people all the time that Usain Bolt could be. He could take Ban Ki-moon or whoever the head of the UN. I mean, I've never seen a person that could was that well liked and could mediate in terms of.
Yeah.
He could be a good great diplomat. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah.
He's got us all. We all know how to draw the bow after we do anything big. we're speaking to Norman Otis Wist, and I'm holding in my hand the essay that made Norman Bethune a name known around the world eventually, in memory of Norman Bethune, and was written by a relatively well-known Chinese leader named Mao Zedong. And here we are fighting the coronavirus, and people are talking about how the Chinese medical system seems very advanced, and their idea of society and protecting people, the World Health Organization has taken its hat off to them. There's probably some due should go to Mao Zedong and to Norman Bethune. He was the doctor.
Yeah, well, he was a doctor who, I think I saw that he and Mao Zedong had an all-night meeting, and I think what it was, Bethune's, he created a mobile blood, a machine that could carry blood. So I guess
He developed that in Spain, yes, and he applied it, I think, put it to use in China as well.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why, I guess, one of his major contributions was this particular machine. But he was killed, well, not killed, but he died as a result of, I guess, getting some infected blood, and he died helping people.
Yeah. Yeah, the point that Mao made, which is just not talked about here, I mean, the concept of selflessness, service of the people, that is alien. If we listen to Donald Trump, Joe Biden, we're not going to hear a lot of that. But actually, here we are. You see, with this virus we're talking about, it's going to take selflessness to beat it.
Oh, yeah, and what is promoted by the West is in hip hop, in all forms of music. Is I think the hip hop thing was a get rich or die trying, and I definitely don't want to put down hip hop, but that's rock and roll, and that is not necessarily the artist promoting that. That is the record companies signed the artist. And they get on the radio, and they get on the cover of these magazines, and they get on TV. And you know, I think the artist definitely will participate in order to, you know, to earn a living. Mm-hmm. But that whole selflessness concept is they have tried to beat selflessness out of people in the West, in the West, or anybody in any capitalist country tries to beat selflessness. They say that you're a fool for being selfless. The thing about being in a capitalist society, we are taught to be selfish.
As a matter of fact, they have a cult of it. It's like, you know, we had the heavy influence of Ayn Rand, who just said it publicly, that caring about other people is a waste of time. She just actually said it. Her number one advisor to Ronald Reagan was a member of her little club. He used to attend the meetings when she gave her private discourse, which, by the way, everybody had to pay to attend. She knew how to make. She wore a gold dollar sign on her dress wherever she went. I think they buried her beside a dollar sign.
Her column was syndicated, I guess, all over the Western world. You could read Ayn Rand, and you could you could get a heavy dose of her every week or every month, I believe, in terms of, I remember reading her, every city that I've lived in, I've been able to go to a newspaper and pick up her column, and she would be running that self, you know, pushing the selfishness line, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are the two lines. Now, you point out, too, that no, it wasn't that long ago Canada did not have a national Medicare system. It was a battle. It's generally attributed the victory to Tommy Douglas because he was the premier of Saskatchewan. However, Norman Bethune, many years before that, had been touring the country advocating a social, and he used the magic words, which is supposed to destroy the possibility. He called it socialized medicine.
I was looking at a video where they said he gave a lecture in at Massey Hall. I guess it was 3,000 people showed up, which is that's the full house, and he led a demonstration after that to Queen's Park. That was in the 30s. Yes, he. The Communist Party and many progressive forces called for, along with Tommy Douglas, and I guess his son-in-law is it Donald Sutherland, played Norman Bethune. And,
yes.
And I think it was a Canadian CBC film, I believe. Yes.
Well, there's been three. Actually, there's been plays. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an opera. There should be. But they did a documentary, I believe, once based on this man, Ted Allen, I think. It was called Scalpel and the Sword, wrote the
Scalpel
first.
Scalpel and the Sword.
The big
Scalpel,
book.
Scalpel the Sword, right, yeah. Yeah.
And then now Adrian Clarkson has done it. But by the way, Donald Sutherland is perfect for that story. And he really clearly understands this is a Canadian hero who won international regard, respect for having given his life in the struggle against fascism.
I think I told you the story on the phone, but I went into a video store and asked a young Chinese woman about Norman Bethune, and she didn't know who I was talking about. And of course, you know, growing up in the United States of America, you know, thinking that you're smarter than everybody else, you know, I kind of dismissed her. And then when the next time I came back, and she basically told me that they didn't call him Norman Bethune. She knew what I was talking about, but the Chinese had given him a name. And once again, going back to my American conditioning, I can't pronounce his name in Chinese, but she gave me his Chinese name. It's, you can Google it. Yeah, they gave him a Chinese name, and she knew.
So she knew
everything.
It.
She knew everything about him, but only thing I could do was just shut up and be humble, you know.
Oh, good. That's a development. Well, speaking of Norman Otis Richmond, I think you're right, by the way, about his name. I saw that Adrian Clarkson was asked about, you know, well, who actually knows about him? And her answer said, well, 1.4 billion Chinese know. But I'm from California myself. And I heard about Bethune. You know, when you looked around the world and you saw the books and out, I'd heard about him. And, of course, in Spain they know about him, particularly after, you know, the downfall, eventually death of Franco. The name Bethune has returned to Spain. There are statues. Probably we might do it that way. Someday we should do a count of statues. My guess is that there are more statues of Bethune in various places in the world, starting with China and Spain. But I'll bet there are statues elsewhere than there are of any other Canadian.
My doctor,
I can't think of another who would compete with him.
When I walk into my doctor's office, it's the first I see a big bust of Norman Bethune.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll quietly, off air, we're going to get the name of that doctor and all line up there. We want somebody who serves the people. Norman, it's been great talking to you. I'm really glad you do what you do. Keep that up. That you're continually pointing out individuals that have to, their dates, their birth dates, and martyrdom. In this case, it was a martyrdom. Need to be noted. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself.
Okay, that's Norman Richmond. Yes,
Phil. I got to mention, in 2005, there was an opera performance in Toronto, an opera on Norman Bethune, written by Tim Brady.
Wow.
And I found a review of it, a very respectful review from the Globe and Mail from 2005. So I'm going to chase it down, see if there's a recording someplace. Well, probably not, but we'll try.
Classical Underground, Wednesday 6 to 8, must have heard about this.
Well, you have
some influence.
You threw out the challenge, and you know, going to the little thing, the little handheld device, which tells you everything, says, yes, in 2005, right here in Toronto, there was an opera about Norman Bethune.
And it was well received.
Well, by this reviewer, he said it was a hopeless task, but that was part of a larger complaint of his, that there were no operas being written about heroic figures. And he gave this figure as kind of a counterexample to his complaint. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was very touched when I, in order to prepare for the interview, I was reading some things, and you feel guilty when you notice how some of the things he did. By the way, he had TB.
Yes.
And he was treated for his TB at the sanatorium run of the Trudeau Sanatorium in, I think, Massachusetts. And people say, oh, the Trudeau Sanatorium in Massachusetts. I probably got the wrong state.
Connecticut, because a member of my family was there. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, the Trudeau place in Connecticut.
Are you 3 feet away from me? You don't have TB. Okay.
That was like 70 years ago, Phil.
Yeah, so it was Connecticut.
Yeah, it was Connecticut.
Now,
yeah.
Here's the funny thing is, everybody says, do you realize that the Trudeau of Connecticut is Gary Trudeau of Doonesbury? That's his great-grandfather. And somebody said,
wow.
Yeah. And it's also the uncle or great-uncle of Pierre Trudeau. They're related. And Bethune did something very daring. He had TB, and as you know, it's a lung issue, and he was reading the advanced literature on it while being ill. And by the way, in creating a very interesting mural for the sanatorium, it's a fascinating mural that he created. He noticed that they suggested that you could collapse the lung deliberately and let it, like, be rest for, I don't know what period of time, and then it could come back 100%. And they said to him, well, we don't recommend it. And he said, let's do it. And they did it, and he was recovered completely. So there's a doctor who experimented on himself. And it's, you know, whenever anybody deals with a doctor who has a little maybe, he says, well, maybe. You say, have you yourself done this? Bethune could say, yeah, I did. Before we go to Zafir, I want to mention, again, going back to Tulsi Gabbard, we would like her on that platform. The Democrats are not going to let her debate, even though she has delegates. But I think we should develop a question that we put to all voters, actually Republicans included. What is their position? I don't know. Sanders' position. I don't know. I think I do know Biden's. I don't know Gabbard's position, but I could guess it, I think. But I think the question should be, do you believe, as professed by previous presidents, Obama and Bush, very loudly, Bill Clinton, that America, in American exceptionalism, that the rules, that America is an exceptional country and international laws, whatnot, don't apply? Do you believe that? And do you believe, as they also say, that America is indispensable? Let's hear him answer that question. Because to me, when you say yes, you cross the Rubicon and become a believer in empire and murder, frankly, you know, U.S. hegemony. And I know the last time I saw Biden when he was still functioning was that he was holding his finger up to people saying, we're number one. The main thing is, we're number one. He said, do you believe in talks with the European Union or something? He says, as long as we're number one. Do you believe in talking with China? As long as we're number one. You say, no, it doesn't work that way. You're just a number, right? You have great, okay, you got an Air Force, you got a Navy, but that doesn't mean that you should talk about yourself that way. So I would like to see somebody put them all on the spot, because they seem to think that's the key thing to assert. You remember when Obama went to West Point to speak to the coming officers, and he said, "I believe in every fiber of my being in American exceptionalism." Well, that's a tragedy. I mean, I just read it. Carl Sandburg said, "The ache for glory leads people to slavery." You know, that idea will bring you down. And so I think Tulsi is one who, she thinks that's a bad idea. She certainly says we've become warmongering. Why can't we stop? We have an army, navy. We don't have to attack people all the time. Anyway, and by the way, they just executed a black man, you heard, in Alabama. She called for tried to save his life. She sent a message to the governor, and to get further, wider publicity against the execution. As you know, this young man, there'd been a police raid on us in a building, and there was a shootout, and three policemen were killed. The shooter, the identified shooter, said that this gentleman didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't have the gun. The shooter, had the gun. And he's alive. But they did execute Mr. Woods about 3 or 4 days ago. The Bernie Sanders campaign didn't say anything. I'm sorry to report that. Anyway, this is, somebody's calling. This is the Taylor Report. I think we might have a little bit of Sidewinder, and then we will speak to Safar Bengash.